Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 3. And if you look in your bulletins, there is an insert in your bulletins. And on one side is the outline of this morning's message. And on the back side is the scripture reading from Luke chapter 3. The version in your Bible is not the same, or I'm sorry, in your pew, the pew Bible, it's not the same as the version I'll be reading from. So you may follow along if you like on the back of your outline. Luke chapter 3, and I'll be reading the verses 15 through verse 22. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. As the people were in expectation, and they were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. The chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were open. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. Our special focus today will be on verses 15 through 20. But I wanted to refer to those last two verses, so you keep that in mind this morning through our sermon. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, today is Palm Sunday, and we just read together earlier in the service about our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, riding on a colt. The people who saw him that day spread out their palm branches and gave him an entrance fit for a king. Hosanna, they shouted. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But as the people sang and they celebrated his entrance on that day, they did not understand what kind of a king he would be and what kind of a kingdom that he would bring. They had in mind that he was a king that was going to overthrow the Romans and reestablish the nation of Israel as it had been in the Old Testament. Even in the Gospel of Mark, they mention in their singing that he is the son of David, as if he would restore the Jewish kingdom of David as part of his task. But the people did not understand that he came to bring not an earthly kingdom, but he came to bring a heavenly kingdom. He came to bring sinners unto and into that heavenly kingdom. For only a few days later, through his death on the cross, they could go to know the Savior, to know that he had died on the cross to pay for their sins, and by his resurrection and their faith in him, they could know the heavenly kingdom. Sometimes as we look at the world around us and all its problems, and even our own personal problems, we think to ourselves in a similar way. Why couldn't God just suddenly send a king or work in our lives to solve all of these earthly problems and bring us into a new era and a new kingdom of peace here on earth? But John the Baptist this morning in his message speaks to us in such a way to remind us that if that is our thinking, if that is our focus, we have missed the reason for Jesus coming, just like those on Palm Sunday. For John in these verses this morning is giving us and reminding us of an urgent message of salvation, an urgent message of salvation which has been accomplished by our Savior and is proclaimed in God's word and through his ministers today. A message that the winnowing fork is right now in his hand, a message we must heed, a message we must believe. Well, let's begin this morning in our text with the purpose of John's ministry. You notice in verse 15, the people are questioning themselves and living in expectation, but questioning in their hearts who John is. Some of them, at the end of that verse, even are thinking that perhaps he is the Christ. Now remember, they are, as the text tells us, living with expectations. They know the promises of the Old Testament prophets. They know the words of the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, who speaks of one, a prophet like Elijah, a second Elijah that will come in anticipation of the coming of the Lord and the Christ. And yet, even though we often recognize that there were prophets when we read the Bible and miracles taking place, we sometimes forget that when John the Baptist came, how long it had been since they had a prophet of the Lord come to them and to speak. For when John appeared on the scene near the Jordan River, it had been 400 years between the testaments since God had sent a prophet like Malachi. 400 years, that means the people who saw him and listened to him and witnessed what he is doing, they had never actually seen or heard a live prophet of God speak to them. If you put into context in our day the amount of time that had taken place, 400 years would take us back to the year 1617. Till the time of the pilgrims, even before we had a nation that we live in today established that we have. 400 years of silence, and then John the Baptist appears. And so we're told that they were living in expectation. They're expecting something that is going to happen, or that God is going to someday do something. But then this John figure appears, and they're not sure exactly who he is. Who is this preacher that is preaching and baptizing in the Jordan River? Is this the second Elijah that has been promised from the Old Testament? Or, as the verse tells us, some of them were wondering if John may be the Christ, the Messiah that God had promised. And so John, in the verses that follow, establishes for us and establishes for the people who came to him the real purpose of his ministry. Verse 16, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John's answer to the people who think that he might be the Christ is that the one who comes after him, the one to whom he is pointing his ministry and his word to, is far greater than himself. John's purpose of his ministry is not to draw the people to himself as if he might be the Christ. John's purpose of his preaching and his baptism is to point people to the Christ that is to come. Now, in the words that John then speaks in that verse, verse 16, he emphasizes two ways in which Christ, the coming Christ, is superior to him. A comparison between John and Jesus in two particular ways in which John indicates clearly in these verses that the Christ, the Lord Jesus who is to come, is far greater than himself. The
you.